Faces unknown. Lois sat in a room surrounded by such delightful company. It was a small space, so most of them stood. With the ease of a skilled debutante, Lois moved in and out of conversations with her visitors, careful to never end a discussion until her conversationalist had sparked a new dialogue with someone else. The space buzzed with adults' hearty, jocular banter. The lone child among them sat in one of the two available chairs, the other chair still empty, remaining silent and appearing quite agitated. Between idle chit-chat with her company, Lois looked at the pouting little girl and said, "I promise, just as soon as they leave, we'll go out and have fun. I love to play just as much as you do, remember? But we mustn't be rude to our friends." Just then, a set of knuckles gently rapped upon Lois's door. "Come in," Lois sang over the drone of her gathering. A woman far older than any of Lois's other visitors and who looked to be well past 70 entered the room saying, "Hello, Lois. How are you today?" "I'm marvelous. Thank you for asking. Please, don't mind the crowd. Come in and take a seat." With a slight look of discomfort upon her face, the new guest made her way to the nearest chair and began to sit. "Oh, no, not there!" Lois called out, losing her composure. "You don't want to sit on my little friend, do you? Please, use the other chair, the empty one." The woman, seemingly mortified, quickly planted herself in the other chair. Lois realized the room had gone silent. She looked to everyone and said, "Now, it was an honest mistake. No harm, no foul." Lois smiled when the din of chatter promptly resumed. "So," Lois initiated, "do you know everyone here? I'd be happy to introduce you to whomever you wish." The visitor's eyes darted away from Lois before she said, "I'm afraid I don't know who's with you at the moment." "Not to worry, dear. I'm happy to help with faces unknown. For instance, if you look over your shoulder, you'll see Max Beasley. Can you believe he asked me to marry him nearly every time he visits? I'm not sure how much longer I can keep him at bay. Though he wouldn't be such a bad catch, you know. His father owns a corner gas station. Gasoline seems to be a lucrative industry." Looking over her shoulder, the most recent guest again returned her gaze to Lois and said, "I knew a man by the name of Max Beasley once, but he was much older than the person you're describing." "Oh?" Lois mused. "Perhaps the person you know is a relative or something. Maybe that's where Max got his name. I'll have to ask him later." Lois then said, "What about Captain Marlowe over there? I'm sure you'd love to hear his tales of navigating the Congo River. He keeps promising to ferry me one day himself, but I have such motion sickness I don't believe I could stand it. I've never been one for nautical travel." "Actually," the woman said, "I came to see you, Lois."
"Me?"
"Yes." Lois, in a display of uncommon anxiety, wrung her hands. She studied the woman as politely as possible, then, after a defeated sigh, said, "My dear, I'm afraid I simply can't place your face. Have we met?" "Several times, but please don't worry about it. My name is Angelica Black." Angelica reached out her hand and Lois shook it with a bright smile. "Do you hear that, Angie?" Lois asked as she addressed the little girl, lower lip still protruding. "This nice woman has the same name as you. What an interesting coincidence." Angelica mustered all her strength and offered a soft, amiable laugh. "Angie and I were just getting ready, once our guests leave, to go play at Shallow Creek. Do you know it?"
"I know it like an old friend," Angelica replied.
Lois and Angelica discussed Shallow Creek as well as many other local areas of adventurous interest at great length. Lois had to frequently remind Angie to remain patient. They would be on their way to play soon, but Angie, judging by Lois's reactions, grew more and more impetuous. Finally, feeling that she had asked more from a little girl than anyone should, Lois genially requested her guest return at a later time, that she had neglected Angie for far too long, and in truth, Lois was just as itchy to splash in Shallow Creek's waters as was her young friend. Lois stood to escort her callers from out her room, and Angelica lingered so as to be the last to leave, discounting Angie, of course. Finally, once satisfied everyone else had gone, Lois warmly waved her arm in a gesture for Angelica to also exit. Angelica said, "You must love your time at Shallow Creek." "Oh, I do," Lois said, "but it's really Angie's company I value so. She's the best friend I've ever had, to be quite honest. The age discrepancy is really no matter. I can always be myself around her, and she never belittles my extravagances.
I thank God I have her in my life. I'm sure she's just as thankful for you, Lois, Angelica said with her eyes threatening to overflow. Lois furrowed her brow as though slightly confused, cordially smiled, and then Angelica watched as her lifelong friend closed the door to an empty room. Hello, Mrs. Black, Nurse Nash greeted as Angelica walked by. My shift just started and I haven't yet seen Mrs. Beasley. How is she today? Angelica, her cheeks wet, returned, Lois is with her best friend. She couldn't be happier.